You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
All right, LA, thank you very much for tuning in. As always, Mario making it happen there in the intro. Lakers. Portland Trailblazers, game one tomorrow. We are finally here. What a journey, what a road to see just how we the NBA in general got to this point. And I know it was eight games for the Lakers in this restart that weren't exactly the most exciting eight games that we've ever seen compared to what we got an opportunity to see through 63 games when the Lakers stopped playing basketball in March. But it was important. It was important for the NBA. It was important also for the Los Angeles Lakers just to get some kind of reps in. But all that talk, all that hype, all that goes to, you could push all that to the side because come tomorrow at 6 o'clock, by the way, we're going to do an extended 2-hour pregame show tomorrow. We'll do an extended 2-hour pregame show all the way through the playoffs. So as long as the Lakers go, hopefully that's going to be the case through mid-October. We'll do a 2-hour pregame show. Starting tomorrow, tip-off's going to be at 6 o'clock. That's it. All that hype, all that conversation. You know, I want to start off tonight's show. And as always, we appreciate you listening on the road, on the ESPN app as well, or on iTunes. Want to start off the show. Is there just too much hype around the Portland Trailblazers? You know, I thought there's LZ, I think, said it perfectly there in Crosstalk. There's kind of a fine line to walk. The line that you're trying to walk is you want to show some respect for the Blazers. You should show respect. It's incredible that nine games that they had in the bubble, the playing game on Saturday, they went 7-2. And if your season is on the line and all you're asking for is, can we get a shot at the Los Angeles Lakers in round one of the playoffs? Can you give us Anthony Davis and LeBron James in round one of the postseason just so we have a shot of moving on in the playoffs and making the playoffs and being a part of the tournament? There's a fine line of respect. And I think it's very fair to say, and there's a lot of Laker fans out there, I believe feel this way, maybe I'm wrong, that have respect for the Portland Trailblazers. Respect the run that they went on. Respect the role players. A couple of those guys had been injured that are now part of this. Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins. Zach Collins, it sounds like, is out tomorrow with an ankle injury. So already right there, you know, obviously a hit for the Portland Trailblazers. That fine line I'm referring to is Laker fans respect them. But what am I missing here around this hype machine that, you know, I don't want to say came out of nowhere with the Portland Trailblazers, but they're a good team. We just got to stop talking about them as they were the Lakers' 80s Showtime era or something along those lines. I want to kind of give everybody just a quick idea how the Portland Trailblazers, how they actually did inside the NBA bubble. First of all, they had a ton of close games. The first game in the bubble, they barely beat the Grizzlies by 5. That game actually might have gone into overtime. Then they lost to the Celtics. Very impressive wins over the Rockets and the Nuggets. Give them credit for that. But then they lost to the Clippers without many of their key guys. They barely beat the Sixers without many of their key guys. Barely beat Dallas, if you guys remember that game. That's a game that Dame went off for 61. Brooklyn, which was the final game of the regular season, they were one bucket away of being sent home. Phoenix would have been in the playing game, number 8 versus number 9. And then against the Memphis Grizzlies, they barely beat Memphis to lock in that playoff spot. That was this past Saturday. Only reason why I point that out is I get the hype. This is a good team. Damian Lillard's been ridiculous in the NBA, you know, in the restart, and he's probably going to be ridiculous in the playoffs as well. they don't play a lick of defense. They gave up in this Orlando bubble average 123 points a game was the average amount of points that the Portland Trailblazers gave up on a night-in, night-out basis. They could have easily been eliminated from playoff chances by losing just one of those close games that they got. And I want to give them credit. I want to, you know, appreciate what they put together. But at the same time, I think we're just we're caught prisoners of the moment where you have one team that performed, the Los Angeles Lakers 3-5. And I'll be the first to tell everybody it wasn't impressive. I mean, it's not like you guys hear me on the post-game shows. You guys obviously hear me when I do Lakers talk. I try to be as objective as possible. I never walked into these post-game shows saying, that's the best basketball I've ever seen. There's that Lakers team I've been looking for since March, or all Laker fans have been looking for. Of course that wasn't the case. But the games were meaningless. They didn't mean anything to the Lakers. Every game for the Portland Trailblazers, they couldn't take a night off. Portland messed up on one night. They wouldn't be playing tomorrow. That's how critical every game was. So I point that out because I think it's also important to show the other side of this. This team has a lot of flaws as well. If Damian Lillard's not going off for 50 points, they're in trouble. If they're not playing any defense, and we know what happens in the postseason. In the playoffs, the game slows down. You have to get stops. I got confidence in JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis to kind of hold the block down low. LeBron, whether he wants to be down there, he usually is because he grabs 8-9 rebounds a game to also hold it down. Okay, the backcourt for the Lakers, there's a ton of question marks there. I agree. But Lakers are built for the postseason. Lakers are built just the way they're structured right now. They are 100% built to make a run in the postseason. Portland's on a hot streak. Give them credit. Damian Lillard's been absolutely ridiculous. And then you got all these other guys that are stepping up. Carmelo Anthony has been fantastic. So has CJ McCollum. So has Gary Trent Jr., Nurkic. Go down the list. Portland's been great. I'm not on that hype meter. And I know there are a lot of people who are, and that's okay. And part of the thing that I want to do in tonight's show, I do want to take some calls from Laker fans and just get everybody's thoughts on what we could expect in this upcoming series. So a couple of things I want to get into. I wonder if this will play to the Lakers' advantage. If you guys saw the win against Brooklyn for Portland, the win against Memphis, Portland obviously had to exert a ton of energy just to get in. Lakers should be fresh. I mean, they better be fresh. They've been hanging out for the past 2 weeks in Orlando. Every time there was a game, I would joke around that I feel like this was an inconvenience for the Lakers. What do you mean we have to play a game? We're at the resort. We got to go back and relax. But obviously now that the postseason starts, Lakers should most definitely be hungry. They've been waiting for the postseason to start. Everybody has been talking, even, you know, the broadcasters. You're listening to some of these games, even our broadcasters here. Everybody's saying, okay, once we get to the postseason, this Lakers team is going to flip that switch on. Well, this will be their opportunity to prove it. It's going to start tomorrow. You know, I've said this for about the last week or so. When Portland continued to just kind of take another step towards coming towards closer to the postseason, another step towards facing the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs, I would talk about how I thought this could be good for the Lakers. Lakers need something like this to kind of wake them up, get them going a little bit, get them under that mindset of, okay, we can't mess around here. This is a Portland Trailblazers team that's very dangerous. Damian Lillard's in a groove right now. You know, all those other role players I talked about, how key they've been. I thought the Portland Trailblazers can actually help wake up the Los Angeles Lakers. And in this kind of instance, just kind of giving this as an example, if you're the Lakers right now, you don't get a first round hang out and we'll slowly get ready for whether it's going to be Houston or Oklahoma City. No, you don't get that. What you get starting tomorrow is, AD, you got to be ready every single game. There is no, I was a little bit passive. No. It starts tomorrow. If you're KCP and Danny Green, it's no, you can't be hitting 20% of your three-point shots. You got to start hitting those shots because the postseason just started, where maybe you can get away with some of that stuff when you're playing the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't want to throw the Phoenix Suns in there, but you guys know what I'm referring to when you're facing a team that's not the Portland Trailblazers, that's more well-rounded. So I like the idea of playing the Blazers in the first round. All right, if they would have lost against Brooklyn, I'd have been okay with that. If they'd have lost to Memphis on Saturday, sounds good. Let's watch another game on Sunday. But the fact that it is the Portland Trail Blazers, it is Damian Lillard, it is some of the elite in the NBA, and I'm referring to Damian Lillard, top 10 player in the NBA, and he's on such a streak, you have everybody's attention now. It's going to be great, too, just for us, you know, Laker fans in general. I think this Blazers team is going to better prepare you for the second round. I think this Blazers team will better prepare you for the Western Conference Finals. So you guys know what I'm referring to when I say all that. What I'm talking about is Lakers are predicted to go make a long run in the postseason. Portland could actually help the cause. So that's what I'm referring to there. Brian Windhorst, one of my favorite to bring on. He's coming up next. We're obviously going to talk about Los Angeles Lakers basketball, preview what we have going on between the Lakers and the Blazers. I got some other NBA questions I want to get into with him. Also, just to kind of throw this out there, Jamie Hudson, she covers the Blazers for NBC Sports Northwest. 8:30, she'll come on, give us a little bit of a preview, what to expect from the Portland Trailblazers, and I'll ask her about some of this hype, if this hype is real. All that coming up next. Brian Windhorst, stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, we'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Want to welcome in Brian Windhorst, covers the NBA for ESPN. Brian, thank you for doing this as always. I appreciate you being a part of the show. Here we are, day one of the NBA playoffs. Before I get into the Lakers-Blazers matchup, did you think a couple months ago we would be sitting here, just overall, just your thoughts of where we are with the NBA and just in general what they've built to allow this opportunity in Orlando?
Yeah, you know, I was getting ready for the playoffs, and I went back and listened to some podcasts that I hadn't gotten to listen to from mid-July. Mm-hmm. And listening to what some people, including myself, were saying about this bubble, we really were unsure. We were unsure if it was going to make it. And the fact that it not only has made it, but that we're getting terrific basketball, because I think we are, I think is just a wonderful sign for the NBA. And the other thing is, I think that there was a belief that this was going to be some sort of illegitimate championship. I never believed that. I thought this was going to be a harder championship to win, a more difficult road. And I don't think if you, with a fair mind, have watched these games and the competitive nature of these games, that you can say this is anything but the highest level of basketball being played in the world anywhere. It happens to be being played on neutral courts without fans at Disney World, which is not something we've seen before, but it doesn't make it any less impressive.
By that, that's actually one of my main takeaways. We weren't sure, and I think there was also conversation of, okay, we got to make sure the players have enough time to make sure that they're ready to go. Also, injuries, you know, you kind of had fear if you get back too early and players aren't ready enough, it increases the likelihood of injuries. And I think the fact that this is kind of a perfect transition into Lakers and the Blazers, Damian Lillard has been, you know, the player in the bubble that everybody's been watching, and there's been incredibly great performances. He did it on a consistent basis all through the 9 games, so they get Lakers and Blazers in the first round. I want to just get your thoughts first on, I don't know if hype is the right way to put it, but I started the show off saying that as good as Portland is playing, I feel like we have looked at what Portland has accomplished, and you know, we hyped them up because they're 7-2 and they're on the streak. Lakers went 3-5, even though they had nothing to play for. How do you look at this series? Are you with me that okay, Portland is good, respect them, but we shouldn't, you know, make them as the best team in the bubble? And Lakers did struggle inside of the bubble, but they also had nothing to play for. How do you look at this series walking in?
Yeah, I think this actually kind of happens sometimes in normal NBA seasons, where teams who are fighting for the playoffs, they are sort of take our attention a little bit more, and you see teams playing for high-level important stakes, and where other teams have nothing to play for, and you sort of forget about them a little bit. Some of it's just flat-out recency bias. There's no way that you can look at Damian Lillard going 52, 61, 42, 30, whatever, and not be impressed with those four games. And I would say that the Blazers' defense is going to probably hold them back. The reason they are the eighth seed is injuries and because of their defense. They also do not – it's not a great matchup for the Blazers. They do not have the defensive players to put on Anthony Davis and LeBron. Now, having said that, there has very rarely been teams in the last 17 years who have had the defensive player for LeBron. But – They specifically do not have a good matchup. It's a bit of an unfortunate circumstance for the Lakers, because to win the number one seed in the West, typically you would not get a team like the Blazers, because that is a team with more talent. There have been many years where the number one seed would have played a team like the Blazers in the second round, especially because this way this bubble went allowed the Blazers a second bite at the apple. I don't know if they make it in if the season finishes with having to come up with those games that they had to. But it's not a great matchup for them, in all honesty. I think, to me, tomorrow night really will define a lot of how the series goes. I usually don't overreact to game one. If the Blazers can take advantage of their momentum and stun the Lakers and sort of put them on their heels, I think it becomes a series. If the Lakers establish control, it could end up being, kind of short.
Yeah, it is. I think there is something to that. When you talk about the first game, Blazers trying to ride all that momentum. But if Lakers came out tomorrow and just put their foot down and said, okay, yeah, playoffs have started. This is what we're supposed to do. I'm sure it takes a little wind out of their sails. Staying on the Blazers for a quick second, you have a team that has got tremendous amount of contributions from guys like Carmelo Anthony, Gary Trent, Yusuf Nurkic, CJ McCollum. So it hasn't just been Dame, even though his numbers have been absolutely ridiculous. If you are the Lakers, what is the game plan with Dame Lillard? Is it, hey, if he gets his, that's fine. We just got to slow down all these other players around him. Or no, you could throw two guys at Dame Lillard. What do you think strategy-wise Lakers will have for Damian Lillard?
Well, you better have your double team strategy in your pocket, because there may come a time where you need to do it. In fact, I sort of feel like we're going to see a double team strategy on Anthony Davis as well. I feel like that's going to be the strategy until the Lakers prove that they can handle it. And quite frankly, against Portland, I think they can handle it. But I think if you're looking at Houston, they're going to face double teams with James Harden. Double teams are going to be a big part of this first round, with the way things are all set up. But I think all in all, the Blazers have three pretty dynamic perimeter players, CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard, and Gary Trent. Gary Trent has certainly shown that he is a guy to be faced with. Those guys, unfortunately for Portland, are all relatively small. So if you're going to put them all out there, you're at a disadvantage. So the Lakers, and Frank Vogel need to have lineups established where you're comfortable putting guys out there that can defend those three guys. So I think this is a series we're definitely going to see a lot of Alex Caruso. But I think Caruso can be assigned to any of those guys, and you feel decently about it. A lot of KCP. And it also helps that Rondo is back. I don't know what you're going to see out of Rondo right out of the gate, but I mean, I could see those three guys playing together with LeBron and AD, depending on how matchups go. I mean, you're going to want to have a center out there to deal with Nurkic, but there are going to be times when you want to deploy your best lineups where it could be Anthony Davis on Nurkic.
Brian Windhorst, who covers the NBA for ESPN, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Brian, I know you've got a chance to watch LeBron James, you know, obviously for a number of years, specifically on this Lakers team. I just want to get your thoughts on what do you think his balance is of, okay, I got to be aggressive and I got to go get 30 tonight, and his balance of, all right, I'm going to facilitate because I got to get all my other players involved. And I only say that because I'm sure there's a fine balance to it. From your perspective, LeBron walks into the postseason, 17th season in the NBA. Of course, all this expectations. From what you've seen this season, are the Lakers, you think, better off when he's more aggressive on offense, or just kind of slicing and dicing as he typically does?
Well, he has to read the game. This is something he has done throughout his career, and there are times where he comes out, reads it perfectly, does exactly what he needs to do, gets other guys going or gets himself going, and, you know, puts the team into a sleeper hold, and it's over at halftime. There are other times when he comes out and you wonder what the heck he's doing. You're like, wait a minute, why are we in a playoff game when LeBron has one shot at the end of the first quarter?
Mm-hmm.
I have seen him do it both ways, but I will tell you that he normally fixes it and gets it right by the end. The LeBron playoff beast is something to behold, and I'm not talking about from 2016. The last time he was in the playoffs, 2018, mm-hmm. he was at the absolute top of his game. Now, he doesn't have the same buildup here, and he's discussed a little bit about being a little uncomfortable with this, but you're still wagering on him to do it. Now, I think the thing we've seen in the bubble so far is when he has challenged his defender on the perimeter and he gets into the paint, he is unstoppable, devastating, as he has been for the majority of his career. But there have been times where he has not challenged his perimeter defender, and he has not looked to attack. And so that will be the interesting thing. In my view, I mean, there are some teams in this Western Conference playoffs who have big perimeter defenders that I think can muscle with LeBron a little bit. The Blazers are not one of them. So if the Blazers honestly believe that Carmelo Anthony can be the primary defender on LeBron, I would put that to the test instantly. My goal would be to have Carmelo Anthony's backside on the bench at the eight or seven minute mark with two fouls. But you know, that's going to be LeBron's read on the situation. But I think he's going to be in a matchup advantage with almost anybody that they put out there. Them missing Trevor Ariza, not that Ariza is a LeBron stopper, but them missing Trevor Ariza is a hole on their roster that LeBron needs to drive a truck through, to be honest with you.
Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN on Lakers Talk. Brian, what's your expectations for Anthony Davis as a whole this postseason? What do you expect for Laker fans to see from AD?
Anthony Davis needs to be great every night. He has reached the point in his career. He was on my MVP ballot. He is one of the top five players in the league right now. You must be great every night. And what I mean by that is even on a night when your shot is not going or where you get a couple of offensive fouls and you're in foul trouble, it's got to be 20 and 10. He's got to give it to him every night. He's got, because, you know, this is what happened in New Orleans. He had playoff games in New Orleans, even when his team let him down, where he was breathtaking. Mm. He had 40-point games where there were losses, and it was like, look, listen, you're not on the better team. It's not going to work out for you. Mm. But there were a lot of other games where he played in New Orleans where he wasn't the guy, where he sort of, you know, fell into the wallpaper. Not can't do it anymore. And the way this Lakers team is set up, they need Anthony Davis and LeBron to bring it every playoff game. So, okay, a down playoff game for him might mean 21 points and 12 rebounds. And then there's going to be playoff games where he goes for 37, 17, and 5 blocks. I'm going to expect to see that a few times too. Mm. But if they're going to do it, they got to get greatness from those two players. And one of the reasons is, there's no third guy that you can really count on. Yes, Kyle Kuzma has been good at times, but in my view, Kyle Kuzma is not a guy you can go out there with and say, he's going to bring it tonight. He's going to get 18 points tonight. He's going to hit 4-3. He's going to play good defense. Mm. There are going to be nights, I expect, when Kyle does not bring it. We all know that you can't rely on Danny Green. Having said that, Danny Green will have games where he hits 5 threes and is great on defense, and you hug him and you say, what a great addition to this roster. But because they don't have that third guy guaranteed, the more pressure is on AD to bring it, especially with his, you know, mostly good but somewhat spotty playoff history.
All right, Brian, you're getting me too hyped up now. Now I can't wait for tomorrow. Okay, final question, Brian, and again, thank you for doing this. Just your prediction on the series. How many games do you think it goes, Lakers or Portland?
The Lakers win tomorrow. I think it's a gentleman's sweep. I think they take, because I just think that the Lakers, the matchup for Portland isn't good. But if Dame comes out tomorrow and he scores 45 and, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, has a night where he doesn't shoot well or he gets in foul trouble and the Lakers let it go and they get down 1-0 with an inexperienced playoff game. They have experienced players leading them, but, I mean, together they're inexperienced. It's going to get rough. I think the Lakers should come out tomorrow night, get healthy offensively. The best thing to do when you're struggling offensively is to play a bad defensive team. Go out there and put up 125, you know, get your 1-0 win, establish your dominance, and I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be off to the races. I typically don't put much into game one. I just spent tonight, you know, analyzing Boston and Philly.
Sure.
I actually think Philly's in pretty decent shape in that series, even though they're down 0-1. I don't usually overreact. But I think in this particular case, under this set of circumstances, game one has a little bit extra meaning. So, LeBron, you've waited for a long time to play a playoff game as a Laker. He hasn't played a playoff game in a while, the longest since he was like a teenager. Come out, establish your dominance, put Carmelo Anthony on the bench with fouls, put pressure on the officials, remind everybody who you are, and make it clear that the Lakers are here to play.
Brian, great stuff, buddy. Thank you for doing this. I'm sure we'll connect as we go through the postseason, but thank you for helping preview game one and day one of the NBA playoffs. Thank you, man.
Have a good night, Al.
All right, that's Brian Windhorst right there. Good stuff. Yeah, now I'm hyped up. I was already hyped up before the call. Now Brian took me to another level. How about gentleman sweep? You know, this is actually a perfect opportunity. We're almost, almost an hour into the show to start hearing from Laker fans out there. Is there too much hype behind the Portland Trailblazers, or are the Lakers actually in trouble? I mean, is that legitimate? Do you have some fear in the Portland Trailblazers because what they accomplished in this NBA bubble so far? I think that there's too much hype. I think they're a good team. I think we could show them the proper respect. But at the same time, we saw a Lakers version that was literally...
Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't decide the law. Call the Wallace Firm now at 844-844-WINS. By holding insurance accountable, the Wallace Firm is helping our community rebuild. That's 844-844-WINS or visit wallacewins.com. Proud partner of Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Playing for nothing. Your phone call is coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go, AD. Lakers game one of the playoffs tomorrow. How the hell did we get here? Doesn't it seem like this journey for the NBA and Lakers basketball? It's been an incredibly long journey in 2020, but that's been the case with just this year in general. And to be sitting here now and just less than 24 hours away from Lakers playing the Blazers in game one. It's unbelievable, and I appreciate Brian Windhorst, and I always appreciate him coming on, and for him to do this, and just to kind of, I loved what he said about, you know, I mentioned, is there too much hype around the Blazers, and then when I asked him about Anthony Davis, the way he kind of went off and said he's got to be AD every single night, complimented what he was doing in New Orleans, but this is a different beast here in Los Angeles, and now he's on a team where in New Orleans, they weren't expected to make noise. Now you're not only expected to make noise, you're supposed to create havoc every single night. That's what it's supposed to be, obviously, here in Los Angeles, LeBron and Anthony Davis. All right, Laker fans, I do want to take some calls. 877-710-ESPN. I want to get your thoughts, obviously, on this Lakers-Blazers series. But most importantly, do you agree with me that there's just too much hype around the Blazers right now. That, yes, they got some momentum. They got Damian Lillard. They had to go 7-2 to put themselves in a position to get to the postseason. But when I say too much hype, this is what I'm referring to. In the bubble, they're giving up 123 points per game. Isn't it supposed to be defense wins championships? Isn't it supposed to be the game will slow down once the playoffs start? And in a half-court style game, you can't be putting up that many points. You can't be giving up that many points. We'll see if that plays out starting tomorrow. Another thing that I mentioned a little bit earlier in the show, it's not like Portland was running through teams in this bubble. They won. Damian Lillard was ridiculous. But they were squeaking by teams they should have beat. They were losing to teams that they should have beat. What I'm referring to there, they barely got through past the Grizzlies in game one when the bubble started. They lost to the Boston Celtics. They lost to the Clippers without a lot of the key guys for the Clippers. Barely beat the Sixers without Joel Embiid left for, I think, most of the second half, or I think the entire second half. No Ben Simmons. And then they barely beat Dallas, barely beat Brooklyn. So you guys obviously understand where I'm coming from on this. Oscar in Santa Ana. Oscar, I appreciate you hanging on to Lakers talk. Just give me your thoughts on the hype that's going on right now. Do you agree with it, or do you think Portland's being overhyped?
They're overhyped, Sliwa. How you doing, Sliwa? Yeah, they're overhyped, man. You know, watching the last couple of games, you know, they had a hard time against, you know, Brooklyn.
Barely beat Brooklyn.
And very, very good. I saw that game. They were all tired. I mean,
do you remember? By the way, Oscar, do you remember when Brooklyn missed that final shot? They didn't even celebrate. They were just like put their hands down on their knees. And I get it. I mean, they are tired. They should be tired. They're playing their hearts out just to get in. But that could have an effect as we get to tomorrow.
And the other game of it is Dallas, which I saw. They got away with murder because that one last foul that Luka Doncic had it. It shouldn't be a foul on it.
And I'll say this, Oscar. Go ahead. Finish your last point, and I'll respond to it.
And the other thing that I have, you know, I have a beef going on. All these people for ESPN, they go root against the Lakers. Even I've been hearing like Barkley's taking
Portland in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I understand this, and this Colin Cowher, the guy who used to work for ESPN, is taking beating the Lakers. And a sweep, and I was like, that's ludicrous. Ludicrous.
Oscar, I appreciate you calling in. Yeah, if you guys want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. Let me just say this real quick. There's a lot of this that happens. You know, you're prisoners of the moment. And in the moment, you know, you're looking at the way the Lakers performed inside of the bubble. It wasn't impressive. So I'm not here to tell you that Lakers don't have something to prove. They do. Lakers got a lot to prove. Lakers 100% do have to come out starting tomorrow. And it's interesting. Windhorse had so much hype to tomorrow's game. I get it. I understand it. You know, the last thing you want if you're the Lakers is to continue to give the Portland Trailblazers momentum. I mean, if Portland takes tomorrow's game, if Portland comes out, they ride the momentum they did, go 7-2 in the bubble, and Lakers just kind of continue to look sluggish, continue to miss a lot of open looks. Players that should be dominating aren't dominating. Okay, then maybe the conversation can change a little bit. But until you see a couple games of Lakers in the postseason, what they're supposed to be doing, how they're supposed to be performing, until you get a little bit of that, I just don't want to make too much. I definitely just don't want to make too much on that front. And I'll say, you know, I think this has kind of been the theme. There has definitely been. I want to play this actually from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. There's definitely been this thought process that this Portland team, it's not your normal Portland Trailblazers number 8 seed. So coach was talking about this yesterday. On a Zoom call yesterday, coach talked about the Blazers, not your typical 8th seed. Here's head coach Frank Vogel. We'll get that in just a second, actually. By the way, they're not your typical 8th seed, and I don't think anybody I think everybody thinks that that would be a team that's between 3 and 5 or something along those lines. Some type of a team that should be battling against the Houston Rockets and the Oklahoma State Thunder, Denver Nuggets, that caliber of a team. But at the same time, you know, and I got a chance to, you know, listen to Coach yesterday. Anthony Davis talked yesterday as well. Everybody has pretty much talked about how tough of a matchup it's going to be against the Blazers. And in saying that, you know, in doing so, that's why game one becomes so important for the Lakers, so imperative for the Lakers. Put your foot down. Take control of the series right out the gate. There is no home court. So no matter what the Lakers accomplish, you know, obviously moving forward here, they're not going to have this fan base over at Staples Center. They won't be in a position where they can have kind of rely on the crowd and everything else. So we know that won't be the case. Okay, Curtis, we got that or no on coach for now? Okay.
I got it.
All right.
You want to do right now?
Yeah, let's do it. Run that one. This is head coach Frank Vogel talking about the Blazers not being your typical 8 seed.
Well, definitely not your typical 8 seed. You know, they played at an elite level during this stretch in the bubble, at least offensively. And we've got a ton of respect for Dame and CJ and Nurkic, but really for their whole team and their whole culture. They got a system that's been together for a number of years. They have the continuity piece, conference finals last year. So just a ton of respect for their what they're bringing to the table.
All right. Also yesterday, I got one from Anthony Davis. So AD was talking about Damian Lillard. AD, you know, one of the things, and I think there's stars that obviously respect what other stars are doing, and Damian or Anthony Davis certainly on that front from Damian Lillard. Here's AD talking Dame.
He's balling right now. He's hot. He's doing whatever he's doing, you know, whatever he can do to make his team win. You know, he's carrying the load, playing a ton of minutes. And so, you know, he's had a snake for a team. And you got to do your best to contain him and take away some of his tendencies. But they also have other guys to make plays as well. So they're a tough opponent. But everybody knows what level he's on in his mindset. And that's to go out there and do whatever he can to help his team win.
All right, that's Anthony Davis right there. Look, everybody's got, you know, the respect of Damian Lillard. Everybody understands how ridiculous Damian Lillard has been in this Orlando bubble. And that I think that's what I'm most looking forward to is when I say Lakers still got a lot of convincing to do, what I'm referring to there is they did struggle in the bubble. So if tomorrow Lakers treat, you know, that evening game as if it's game seven and they do put their foot down, and they do allow us to finally see good quality Lakers basketball again, something that we were accustomed to back in March. And they do allow us to see that, okay, defensively, this is a Lakers team that you got to reckon with, and you got to play defense in the postseason. They can control Damian Lillard to an extent. I think that conversation will change very quickly in the media, but that hasn't been the case so far. All right, top NBA stories coming up next. I want to kind of circle around the NBA real quick. Plus, let me promote, I want to tease this. I don't want to give it away just yet, but stay tuned in because we have this Hoopery hoodie in part of our 710 ESPN Celebrating Mamba Mondays in the month of August. We have a Hoopery hoodie to give away. I don't want to give any of the details yet. Just stay with us. We'll give it away in a little bit. Plus, a little bit later in the show, Jamie Hudson, who covers the Blazers for NBC Sports Northwest, she'll be coming up at 8:30. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we got the top NBA stories. So this is kind of the position that we're in right now. Now that you got all the playoff games going on at once, we're going to be talking about all the games, but of course the focus is going to be around Lakers basketball. So if you're looking for a score, an update on the Clippers-Dallas Mavericks game, 85-78, the Clippers over the Dallas Mavericks. kind of a weird game. Clippers came out. They were up by, I think, like 15 or something along those lines. Next thing you know, you look at the TV, Dallas has a 14-point lead, and then Clippers coming out dominating the third quarter. I guess you can kind of expect that. This is what happens. Look, me personally, I don't give the Mavericks any chance, not even to win the series, but to even make it a series. That's how I look at how awful of a matchup that this is for the, obviously for the Los Angeles or for the Dallas Mavericks. So 85-79, Clippers with a 6-point lead over the Dallas Mavericks. I'll keep you guys updated on that game. If Clippers just start winning, maybe I won't talk about the game anymore. Maybe I'll just move on. Earlier today, Jazz and the Nuggets, fantastic game. 135-125, the final score. So the Denver Nuggets handle business in overtime against the Utah Jazz. Critical mistake from one of my favorite players to watch in the league. Donovan Mitchell, 50. What did Donovan Mitchell have? 57 or something along those lines. 57 points for Donovan Mitchell. Goes 19-33 from the field. Hits 6 3-pointers. 13-13 from the free throw line. But with under two minutes to play, doesn't inbound or gets an 8-second count. And that was the difference of the game. Jamal Murray comes back. They had a 4-point lead. Hits a three. They get the game to overtime. And in overtime, 20-10. Denver doubles up the Utah Jazz. So you guys know, obviously, the way that ended. So that gives the Denver Nuggets a 1-0 lead. Raptors over the Nets, 134-110. And the Boston Celtics over the Philadelphia 76ers, 109-101. So those are the scores. I will say this. Tomorrow we obviously have an incredible amount of games coming up. And it's not going to be just the Lakers. Lakers will be obviously the main game in that one. But you got some games that are starting off at 10:30. Magic and the Bucks, Heat and the Pacers after that, Thunder and the Rockets after that. Thunder and the Rockets is the only game that we'll really pay attention to, I think, from a Laker perspective, because that's who the Lakers would face in the second round. By the way, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see this. Who's the favorite for the NBA championship? No clear-cut favorite. Since 2015, this has never happened where you got a lot of the sports books are picking the Milwaukee Bucks. A lot of other ones are picking the Lakers. And then most of them are picking the Clippers, as is Las Vegas. So that kind of just points out from a favorites perspective. I think this is what makes this postseason so exciting. I've kind of been mentioning this over the last, probably over the last couple of weeks, that I don't know what to expect when the postseason starts. I really don't. All these things that we feel like we should be expecting, it's just kind of up in the air now. You have a team like the Los Angeles Lakers, the way they were playing in March, it's irrelevant now. You got a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, they're supposed to have home court throughout the postseason. They don't have home court now. So I think there's a bunch of things on that front that is a little bit surprising. And I think for a lot of basketball fans out there, you can look forward to walking into games where you have no idea who's going to win and everything that you're accustomed to is not part of the game. I know on a Laker side of things and on the Laker front, that's certainly been the case, but it all starts for the Lakers tomorrow. Okay, now I will give away, as I promoted a little bit earlier, 710 ESPN is celebrating Mamba Mondays in the month of August. So call right now at 877-710-ESPN. Caller number 8 will win a Hoopery hoodie. Unbelievable hoodie, by the way. A couple post-game shows ago, I rocked one of them. And if you guys saw it on social media, you'll love the hoodie. So 877-710-ESPN, part of Mamba Mondays. Caller number 8 will win. Follow us at ESPN Los Angeles on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for more chances to win. So I'm sure the phone lines will obviously go crazy on that front. Be number 8, all right? Don't be number 2. Don't be number 4. Time this the right way and get number 8, damn it. Coming up next, I want to spend a little bit of time. Vince Carter was on Get Up, and he talked about Kawhi Leonard. And what a championship for Kawhi Leonard, what it would do for his legacy. I also want to get a chance to Jalen Rose on the NBA countdown. Anthony Davis is not a top five player in the NBA, so he obviously has his thought process on what he thinks about AD. There's one way that, you know, certainly AD can shut somebody like Jalen Rose up. He could start it by tomorrow. So all that coming up next. Stay right here. You're listening to Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.